Welcome to It's a Good Life, the podcast for entrepreneurs, where it's all about growing yourself and your business. Here's your host, founder of America's largest business coaching company, Brian Buffini.
Well, the top of the morning to you, and welcome to It's a Good Life. I'm your host, Brian Buffini, back with another Real Strengths episode with our resident expert, Rachel Yeaman. Today, we'll dive into how to understand and seize our natural strengths. Rachel will be sharing this powerful content at our Peak Experience event this year in May. I've kind of twisted her arm as she prefers to be behind the scenes, but she does such a great job with this content. So she's going to be at our Peak Experience event and our Leadership Conference event. So sorry for that, Rachel, but welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you helping me step outside of my comfort zone.
And that's where we're going to start. And I do have a habit of pushing people into that because, again, nothing great happens in our comfort zone. So we want to talk about that. You know, at the end of the day, we developed this Real Strengths profile. We'll talk about the Real Strengths assessment here some point in time today. That's free to the folks who want to take it. It's helped us coach people and change their path in life. We've done this with tens and tens of thousands of people. We have 22,000 clients as we speak. So we know when we play to our strengths, it feels good. Like you can tell, like, okay, I'm in my sweet spot. But many of us do get caught in this comfort zone. Let's talk about the downside, right? Because comfort zone sounds like a nice place to be. What are the downsides when we stay in that comfort zone?
Yeah, you know, there are numerous costs. You know, we're going to dig into them. But first, let's just define comfort zone so that we're all on the same page here about what we're talking about. You know, this comfort zone that we're referring to today is the state that we put ourselves in that feels familiar, it feels safe. It's where discomfort and uncertainty is really minimized. You know, it's a place we put ourselves in to feel more secure, to feel more in control. And there is absolutely a time and a place for this due to extremely challenging circumstances that are going on in our lives or just seasons that require a more gentle, grace-filled approach. But the danger lies in staying in that space when it's no longer required or serving that bigger picture for our greater purpose. You know, a cost associated with staying in this comfort zone is that we play small. We become stagnant and complacent. You know, we're seeing this across the board right now as we're all still kind of working through this post-COVID hangover and everything that's happening in the world right now. It's left so many of us just kind of white-knuckling comfort and stability. And that essentially leads us to just conceding control over our lives. We become almost like these spectators in our own lives where we're walking on eggshells or we're just kind of waiting for the next shoe to drop and ultimately limiting our own potential in the process. And I think it's important for us to note that this does not happen overnight. This tends to happen over a series of these almost like micro decisions where we just drift into this place of comfort. And, you know, I personally, a couple of years ago, I was having a conversation with Dermot, the CEO of Buffini & Company, and he was challenging me in some professional growth areas that he saw that I absolutely did not see at the time. I was honestly pretty resistant. And, you know, I wasn't aware of it at the time, but I really didn't want to see his perspective because I was so deep in my own comfort zone. I'd spent at this point a decade coaching clients, many of which I'd been, you know, working with from almost day one. My ego was honestly getting a lot of accolades. I was good at it. It felt good. The lives of the clients that I worked with were changing daily. You know, they were making well into six figures. Many were making over a million. They were experiencing more balance of life, more time with their loved ones. Like life was good. And I was perfectly comfortable. And Dermot saw that. And he was challenging that comfort because he saw a potentially bigger impact that would be available through me.
So he pushed you out of the nest a little bit. And we all need that. That's where coaching comes in. That's where accountability comes in. That's where having friends that have real life conversations. You know, an outside group, Salesy, which basically examines sales forces and what they do and how they do it, just did an analysis of a bunch of salespeople working from home. And they asked the average salesperson working from home how many hours a day they were on the phone. and the people on average answered 5 hours a day. And unbeknownst to them, their calls were also being tracked by their company, and they were averaging 40 minutes a day. I don't think the people were lying en masse to the survey because of a blind survey, but I think they were lying to themselves. And that's what the comfort zone does. Because when you describe the comfort zone at the beginning, it sounds like a place I want to get to. You know, it's like, man, that's a goal. Sounds peaceful, sounds comfortable, sounds nice, sounds the avoidance of conflict. It sounds great. But the other part of it is, you know, you said we play small. We also fool ourselves. And we fool ourselves in this isolation of the comfort zone. And like the salesperson making 40 minutes of phone calls a day versus 5 hours a day, they're going to live small. They're going to sell small. And then they're going to go, the product doesn't work or the program doesn't work because I don't have the right tools, because the answer can't be me. And in this, like you say, this post-COVID world, that's funny, you know, I was just in Hawaii and the Big Island of Hawaii has changed because of people working from home. And let me tell you this, the amount of people that are out during the day boogie boarding and doing this and doing that, that I bump into on my hikes that are telling me they're working from home. And I'm like, it's 11 o'clock. You got a boogie board under your arm. Like, okay. That's a slow decline to nowhere. And so we have to be able to manage. There needs to be seasons of rest. There needs to be seasons of comfort, but there also needs to be seasons of challenge. You also had a few other things you were talking about offline. We were talking about what else happens when we stay in it. And you were talking about this reactive mode. Talk about that, because I think that's very important to share.
Yeah. I mean, we get into this reactive mode where, you know, we see all this hard that's happening in the world and we tend to just numb out and put ourselves on this automatic conveyor belt, this like treadmill of just like gritting through or pushing through and like waiting for life and stress to just level out, which is not going to happen. And due to various like societal pressures to perform or conform. Like we all have this desire for external approval where we can begin to almost abandon ourselves because we're so afraid right now to let others see our true selves. So we're living small, we're reacting to the world around us. We're just stacking up all these regrets because we're so focused on running away from what we don't want, from the hard, we've created essentially this like self-imposed cage. We're just sitting in this cage of our own making. We've got the key in our hand and just limiting everything that's possible for ourselves and those around us.
Well, for years, I would talk about stepping out of comfort zones and things like that, but I actually think it's stepping out of the fear zone. And I think that's the real dynamic. And the real reason is, a person's home and working from home became a reaction to an over worldwide fear. People are waiting for the next shoe to drop. When you get triggered with fear, you wait for the next shoe to drop. And now you're talking about like you're in a cage, you have the key and you won't turn the key. Obviously, you know, this all leads to one another. And you've been coaching people for a long, long time. You've been helping our coaches now through the real strengths. How do we help people who are being ruled by fear? I mean, because that's really where the rubber meets the road here. If we're just going to call it out. It's not a comfort zone. It's a fear zone. How does real strengths and what you're talking about help people who are being ruled by fear? And what are the fears they're being ruled by?
Well, you know, I think we're so desperately working to avoid right now. We're working to avoid rejection or working to avoid discomfort that we're resistant to then like any change, even good change that's happening. We're saying no automatically to anything that's new, not assessing whether it actually fits with our value system or is something that we actually want. You know, we're essentially setting up our life so that we are playing to not fail. And we're just letting our fear of discomfort, our fear of rejection and judgment, our fear of failure or being wrong, like completely overtake every single corner of our life. And, you know, coming back actually to that story with Dermot, you know, initially I was reflecting after the conversation and of course, giving myself the list of reasons to stay, you know, doing what I was doing and why Dermot didn't see what I saw, right? Because obviously it had to be his error, not mine. But ultimately, like when I sat and I got real with myself, it was all about fear. The fear of trying something new and completely outside of my comfort zone, the fear of opening myself up, honestly, and being vulnerable with a different group of people. You know, I could get vulnerable with my clients, but there was, you know, a decade worth of relational equity built in there, right? You know, ultimately for me though, and how I am wired based on my own real strengths profile, it was a complete fear of failure. I knew exactly what success looked like for my professional day-to-day as a coach. I knew which metrics to monitor and hit, and I had no clue what success looked like or even how to, you know, go about achieving it in this new vision that Dermot was laying out. And, you know, some of you guys know I'm a big reader. I have a handful of books that I reread every year. And of course, you know, by God's divine providence, while all this is happening, I stumbled upon a quote by one of my all-time favorite authors, Paulo Coelho. I read his book, The Alchemist, every year. Anyways, this quote just hit me square in the face, and it says, "Oh, how much I missed simply because I was afraid of missing it." And oh man, I like even get a little bit teary, like reliving like that moment, because I think about myself, I think about my family, my kids, the people around us, like how much the world is missing out on in like the power of who we are simply because we're afraid of dot, dot, dot.
At the end of the day, it's the pain of one versus the pain of the other. And the addiction to comfort zone means I put my life in passive mode, which is why, by the way, as we're in a political year, political rancor picks up. The people who are most jacked up about politics are the people who are waiting for politicians to improve their life. So that's why I need that to happen. And that's why I'm so jacked up about it. And so all my energy goes into that. The most jacked up sports fans, and I'm a passionate sports fan, but the most jacked up sports fans are often not really pursuing the game themselves. They're in the stands. They're committed to be spectators. When Ogmandino said, you know, so many people are sitting in the stands and you have to pay to be in the stands, as opposed to having the courage and the willingness to be a player yourself. Get in the game. Become who God's made you to be. Fulfill your potential. At the end of the day, real strengths, that's what it's about, right? We're talking about seize your strengths. Our theme this year at the Peak Experience is seize the day. The goal is coming to grips with the opportunities you have, the gifts you have, and then saying, okay, I'm going to go for it. And I'm willing to fail. I'm willing to try. I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone because, like Paulo Coelho said, how much I missed simply because I was afraid of missing it. When you have the book that fabulous nurse wrote, she was a hospice nurse who wrote a book called The Five Regrets of the Dying. There's five regrets that she saw hundreds and hundreds of people share, and they were all the same. And one was, I wish I'd risked more, which really means I wish I hadn't been so scared. I wish I hadn't been so scared. It's not about taking a wild swing. It's not about a risk for risk's sake. It's, you know when you know, like this is an opportunity. This is who you are. And you can either shrink back from it. And can you imagine where you would be today if you'd have shrunk back? What happens is the biggest cost of it all is we become cynical, critical, a complainer. The other people who do it, we actually complain when the other people do it. And that's why it's lonelier at the top. Henry David Thoreau said the average man and woman leads a quiet life of desperation. In the real strengths, we're talking about maximizing your gifts. Maximize your potential. And if you're working inside your gifts, you'll feel this sense of freedom and this sense of joy, even in the struggle, because your gifts are alive. How can we maximize our life with these real strengths we've been given?
Yeah, I mean, man, just like the sound of you saying it and framing it that way, like breaking free, that is what it's all about. It's, I think, about recognizing this tension that exists between who we are and who we could be if we took the risk. And you know, once you see that, you can't unsee it.
Right.
That's how we can truly begin to maximize our life. You know, so maximize is actually my word for the year, this year in 2024.
Okay.
And, you know, meaning to make as large or as great as possible. And to me, this is not just about doing more. Right? This is about doing more of what aligns with my values and less of what does not. It's about using what makes me uniquely great, my strengths, in a deeper and more meaningful way than I ever have before. Mm. It's about embracing big discomfort in order to optimize the opportunities that come to me, amplify the impact that I'm meant to have on this world, and really just make every moment count. Seize every day, like you're talking about. But this requires courage to change. If we want to maximize our lives, we have to use our strengths in the face of fear and to choose courage over comfort. It requires that we take ownership of our lives and no longer play that spectator role. We need to honor the agency that we all have, this choice, and put it to use with our strengths to leverage our full potential and truly live out our purpose on this earth. My son is 8, total free spirit, this like outside the box thinker. And about a year ago, it was, you know, when I was going through some of this stuff with Dermot, when he was encouraging me to stretch. You know, we were working on his reading homework one day, and in the middle of it all, he just looks at me and he goes, "Mama, am I the primary character in my own life?" And I remember I just like stopped doing what I was doing. And I looked at him, and I'm like, "Bud, tell me more." And he said, "You know, like, am I the central character in my own story?" And I just looked at him and I said, "Yeah, bud. I mean, if not you, then who? No one else gets to decide what you do with your life." And he just looked at me and he responded by saying, "Well, that's exciting because no one can play me as well as I can play me. And I'm so grateful to have my family as supporting characters because I know there will be times where playing me will get really hard."
By the way, what's he doing next week? I need another guest for the podcast.
Right? No. He goes, "I'm going to need you guys to remind me that I was made for this." And I just remember walking away feeling so convicted that if my kid gets this, and he was 7 at the time, I had better be living this out for him and my daughter and my family every single night.
Yeah. Out of the mouth of babes, right? You know, it's funny. I was with one of my grandsons the other day, and we have a little putting green in the back of the house. And I handed him a putter. And he just grabbed the putter, and he just banged the ball into the hole. And it's amazing, you know, you're professional golfers and adults, and we spaz over all these different things. But the kid just saw the hole, saw the ball, lined it up, and just hit it. Sometimes that's the game here. You know, that's the game. We overthink and we overdo it. You know, another guest at Peak Experience is going to talk about how to conquer overthinking. And we tend to do it. You know, sometimes you got to fire ready aim. You know, sometimes that is the deal. You're talking about your comfort zone. Having you speak at Mastermind, having you speak at Leadership Conference, you've done panels before, but I'm like, no, I want you to go do a keynote address on this content. People are loving it. They want more of it. And you're the vehicle to do it, so you got to go do it. It's out of service to others. It's an alignment of gifts. You don't think you can do it. And now all of a sudden you're starting to grow in the confidence as you prepare. It's like, okay, this seems to be resonating. It doesn't mean you won't be nervous or whatever else, but it will mean that you're not only stepping out of the comfort zone, you're pursuing the message you have and the path that you've been on for a long time. And so that's really what this is about.
Well, thanks, Brian and Rachel. This is a great reminder of why we need to step outside of our comfort zone. This conversation continued and got into some really powerful tactics for working within our areas of strength. So next week, in part 2, we're going to pick up where we left off and learn how to live with purpose, conquer our fears, and work within our strengths. Until next time, here's Therese.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.